I have the privilege of going out to the Teen Challenge Men's and Women's Center once a month and sharing whatever seems to be the best sermon of the month with them. The best of my sermons of the month. I don't share other people's. And so it's a privilege to have these women come and join us here and to have them share with us today. Darcy's going to come and introduce the rest of the team. They're not all going to share, but Christine and Katie and who's the other one? Oh, and Adriana are going to share. Darcy, why don't you come? And don't assume that everyone already knows about Teen Challenge. Feel free to just share what Teen Challenge is and why it is that there's no teenagers in Teen Challenge. Okay. Let me pray for you, though. Father, I thank you for Darcy. I thank you for Christine, for Adriana, for Katie, and for all the other women that are here as well today. Lord, you have touched their lives, and they have responded to you. May you be glorified through what they share, and may you give them your peace and the ability to put into words the things that you've done in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Hi, everyone. So I'm actually a Teen Challenge graduate. I graduated in April, and I'm here as a staff member on duty. And it's really cool to be at this church because when I came into Teen Challenge April of 2008, my first weekend, we came here for an outreach on the Sunday. And I was thinking about that. We had lunch downstairs, and then Pastor Dave drove us around. And it's really cool that now I'm back here. And from that time, the beginning of my program to now, I am completely a different person. And I was really kind of just thinking about that. And God has just done such miracles in my life through Teen Challenge. And so I'll tell you guys a little bit about the program. It's called Teen Challenge because it started in New York by David Wilkerson for teenage gang members. But in Canada, it's only for 18 to 45-year-olds-ish just because when people are under 18, the government gets their hands in there. So that's why we don't have any centers for youth right now. And in BC, there's three centers, a women's center in Abbotsford, that's where we're from, a men's center in Yarrow, which is where Pastor Dave goes quite a lot, and then up in the Okanagan in Winfield. And the program is a year-long program, and it is recovery. It's for people with life-controlling issues like addiction, gambling, pornography, and but it's a discipleship program. So it really focuses on Jesus and Bible study and really fundamental Christian concepts. Like the girls are taught devotions and how to pray, and they really thoroughly study the Bible. And basically, the thing that's different about our program than all the other ones is definitely the Jesus factor, that staff encourages students to go to Jesus. And he's really the one that brings a lasting change for myself. I'm 27, and I went through years of addiction with alcoholism, drugs, bulimia, and all sorts of sinful behavior. And I went to four secular treatment programs, a 21-day, I went to like a 6-week, another 21-day, and then a recovery house. And I really didn't change in those programs at all. I came out even almost a little bit worse than when I went in, because I was pointing the finger when I came out and blaming people for the choices that I had made. And through Teen Challenge, I really took responsibility for a lot of the choices I made, because ultimately it was me that decided to pick up a drink and, do all that stuff. So through Teen Challenge, God has just totally transformed me from the inside out. And, I'm a changed person. And it's amazing. I'm doing my leadership and training program, which is 6 months after you graduate. So is Christine. She'll be sharing. And I knew that God really wanted me to do that. And it was hard for me because we only get paid a very small amount. We still live at the center, and I have all this debt accumulated from my years in addiction. But I was faithful, and I did my leadership and training, and God has just blessed me for that. I got two jobs offered to me, one at Salvation Army in Langley and then one at Teen Challenge's head office, and which is awesome to have a choice. So I'm going to be working at Teen Challenge at the head office in Langley as administrative manager, and I'm also going to the University of the Fraser Valley starting next week to take my business administration diploma. So, yeah, it's just awesome what God has done through Teen Challenge. And I'll give some updates because Dave always does that. He updates us on what's going on in your church. So at Teen Challenge, I don't know. I know there's a couple that knows Ann Donkers. She's been our director now for a year. Last Wednesday, it was her year anniversary as our director. And the Women's Center has just flourished under her leadership. She's such a godly, spirit-filled woman, and it has brought such unity to our center, and God is just pouring down blessings on our center right now. Like, I just can't even tell you the way He's moving in these women's lives. Like, the miracles we see every day, it's unbelievable. And we're going to be expanding the Women's Center to 20 beds. Right now we have 10 beds, and so right now that's all in the process of getting rezoned and all the legal political type stuff. So if you guys think about it, pray for it, that everything would go through and that we could build the expansion. And also Brian Pearson, our executive director, was just out on Vancouver Island scouting a property in Duncan that looks very promising to have a men's and a women's center there. And they'll be partnering with New Life Church in Duncan. So that's very exciting because I think a lot of you know there's a lot of darkness on the island. So very much need a Teen Challenge there. And then on October 8th, we're having our fundraiser, our fall fundraiser. I know your church had a table at our fundraiser last year. It was November. And Mark Buchanan from New Life Church in Duncan will be speaking. So if you guys want info about that, you can let me know. And then I'm just going to introduce Katie. She's our most senior student and our youngest one. She just turned 20, and she's going to share what God's doing in her life.
Hi, my name's Katie. I'm 20, and I'll be in my 10th month, the program, and I'm from Edmonton. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Okay, so I was born to a very young mother. She was about 16, and so I was put up for adoption. So I was adopted when I was 10 days old. And I was adopted into a very loving Christian family. I grew up going to church. I was very blessed. My parents did everything that they could to show us, me and my brother's also adopted as well, to show us that we were loved and wanted and accepted. But inside me, I felt that I wasn't, and I felt like that no one could love me if my real parents didn't want me. So I started putting up the walls of not letting them love me, and I grew up going to church. I knew about God, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with Him. And I was very involved going to Sunday school, VBS, every church event. And when I was 11, we moved from BC, and we moved to Edmonton. And that was a big change for me. I didn't even know what Edmonton was, where it was. So we moved there when I was 11, and I had a very hard time making friends. I lived in a neighborhood with really young families or, like, older families, no one around my age. And my brother started high school, so we weren't really friends. He didn't want to hang out with his little sister anymore. So the friends that I did make, a few months into being friends with them, they rejected me. And so it was another big, like, stab at me at being rejected and feeling like nobody wanted me. And when I was 12, 10 to 12, I had a really bad attitude problem, and I was really rebellious, and I started lying and stealing. And when I was 14, I was put into a Christian school. My mom went back to work, so I was homeschooled before that. And so I got put into school at 14. That was my opportunity to do what I had to do to make friends, because growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends with being homeschooled, so I didn't have, like, school friends. So I was like, wow, a whole school of people. I can make lots of friends. And I ended up having to compromise my morals to make friends. At 15, I started drinking and smoking pot. By 16, I was expelled from school for drinking on school properties. And so that was kind of a big, like, what I thought was a wake-up call to me. But then I decided, instead of going back to school, like looking for a different school to go to, I thought it would be a good idea to get a full-time job at 16 and to grow up and act like an adult, which didn't work. I got a job. I was working at a restaurant with people who were way older than me. I started hanging out with those people, and I got mixed up in partying and in bad relationships. And but at 17, I decided that I would try going back to high school. I lasted about 2 or 3 months, and then I dropped out. And then when I turned 18, it was 'cause in Edmonton, the legal age is 18. So I was really excited because now I didn't have to hide what I was doing and I could just go out and because I was legally able to do it. And so that I was a good 3 or 4 months of going out to the bars, partying, getting into a lot of trouble, still going to church. I was still going to youth group and I was hiding my life. So I was living like a double life. I had my church friends and then I had my work and party friends. And so finally, after a few months of that, I went to my mom and I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I knew that there was a God and I knew that there was something different and that what I was doing was wrong. Like, deep down I knew that, but I was still doing it. So they didn't realize the full extent of the trouble of what I was doing, I guess. So they thought that I just maybe needed to go away and like have an encounter with God or like just have a relationship with Him. So I went on a 5-month missions trip with Youth with a Mission, and it was an amazing experience. I totally met God there. And I learned a lot and I built a really good, I built a relationship with Him, but I only dealt with the surface issues. And, I didn't start to dig down deep and realize the rooted issues and the root pain. So after coming home, from my 5 months and I was sober for 5 months there, I came home and within 3 days I relapsed. I felt like I had gone away and I thought I had changed. Well, I had on the surface, but I came back to all my old friends and nobody understood what I had experienced and like what I had gone through. And I didn't know how to properly explain to them. And so, I ended up going back to my old bar friends and, I started working at the bar. I was in some more abusive relationships and, when, after being home for a couple of months, one of my friends, she introduced me to cocaine, and I almost overdosed my first time. I ended up just going very quickly on a downhill spiral. I just lost total control. I couldn't keep a job. I thought moving out of my parents' house and getting my own place would help me to, I guess, grow up. Again, and it didn't work. My parents ended up having to pay my rent most of the time when I was gone, when I had moved out. And so after 9 months from the day that I came home to the day in December, it had been exactly 9 months. I went to my mom and I said, I'm done. Like, I'm going to die if I keep going down this road. I'm scared for my life. I don't I was blacking out. I never remembered anything. I would still fully be functioning, and my friends would think I was okay. But I would wake up and be like, well, what did I do last night? Where did I go? How did I get home? I didn't know anything. So I explained to them what was really going on. And so we called a family friend in Chilliwack, and she told my mom about Teen Challenge. And my dad was like, oh, it's a year. I don't know if she really needs a year. And I was, the first thing in my mind was, oh, good, I can get away again for a year. That would be good. That, like, I just need to go away. And so I applied, and from the day that I applied to the day that I came to Teen Challenge, it took 2 weeks, which is, yeah, it was amazing. I really needed to be there, obviously. So I came to Teen Challenge on December 8th. God's done amazing things in my life. He's restored my relationship with my parents. I didn't have a relationship with my brother at all. And now he lives in North Vancouver, and he comes and visits me every visit day. We are building a relationship. God's really shown me what real, true love is. And he's began to break down all those walls that I built up where I wouldn't let my parents love me and I wouldn't let God love me. And now I've been able to feel the love, and I feel what real love is. He's restored my mind. And in the last 3 weeks, I didn't really have a very good prayer life before. It was hard to pray and talk to God and not have him like there. Like when you talk to a person, they're there and it's easy. But in the last 3 weeks, my prayer life has drastically changed. I've seen a whole new side of God. I'm able to pray to him, talk to him like he's a normal person and not be afraid of him. And it's just really cool. And so my plans for after, I had, like a couple months ago, I had been thinking about maybe doing LIT, and then I was like, no, I want to go back home. I want to live there. I miss my family and my friends. And about a month ago, I had to go home for a week. It was the first time I had been home since being here. And I went home for like medical reasons, a minor surgery, and it was the worst week of my life. I hated being there. God made it extremely clear that I am not to ever live there again. Very, very clear. So now I'm thinking of possibly staying for LIT. And I really have a heart for youth, especially youth in the church, because I grew up in church and I went away from God. And then one thing, when I came home from my mission trip and I relapsed, I had so much shame, and I was like, look at, like, you changed. Like, you went and you had this relationship with God and you experienced God, but it's like you came back and you just threw it in his face. And so I felt like God, I was like, okay, that's it. God will never love me again, not after I've done that. And, but that's wrong. It's very wrong. And God's really shown me that in the last even, like, few weeks. I've really been thinking about that and about how no matter what we do, his love doesn't change for us. He won't love me more if I move to Africa and become a missionary, or like he loves me the same. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Katie. Just before Adriana shares, I'm hoping to add $75 to the offering for Teen Challenge. Here's how we do it. If you have a blue Toyota Corolla and you're parked in a resident-only zone, I'll save you a towing ticket with this announcement, okay? All right, so if you have a Toyota Corolla parked where it says residents only, you're about to be towed. Adriana, I first met you at Missions Fest last year when you were about 1 week or 2 weeks in the program. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm really glad to be here and share what God's doing in my life. So again, my name is Adriana. I just turned 25 a couple days ago. Big birthday. And I was born and raised in Burnaby. And I grew up in a large religious Italian Catholic family. And I'm the youngest of six. I was very blessed growing up. My parents were very hardworking, and they were well respected in the community and the church. We went to church each Sunday. I have uncles that are priests and aunts that are nuns. So there was a lot of performance-driven attitudes in my home and how we looked on the outside. So from the outside, we looked perfect, family. But on the inside, there was a lot of secrets, a lot of screaming, a lot of fear and manipulation going on. So it was about when I was 8 years old. I saw a lot of things that really caused me to hate God, to challenge just my parents. A lot of rebellion started when I was eight. And it started because of my brother. He had a cocaine addiction, and it just devastated me to find out that truth, because I was told only bad people do drugs. So I was really devastated to find out that truth, that he was addicted to cocaine. I witnessed my sisters, two of my sisters, go through divorce. And again, my brother-in-law's drug addictions, cocaine and crack, and they were drug dealers, and they cheated on my sisters. So from a young age, just a lot of strongholds started in my mind about men, about relationships. I had such a distorted view, and I began to believe this lie that all this happened because God was mad at me and he hated the family. Very twisted, but it was true, and I felt like I needed to earn, and like no matter how hard I tried, God wouldn't love me. So from then on, just in high school and in elementary, there was lots of rejection. And one day I had so many friends, the next day I had no friends. I had really bad acne, so I was teased and I was made fun of and I was called ugly. And I'm just like, God, why are you punishing me? Like, what did I do? And again, so from a young age, depression, suicidal tendencies, just so much rebellion. I had so much anger in me. I'm surprised I didn't kill someone, just so much rage. And I was just so mad at my parents, and I just hated them. I was just so mad, especially with my mom. There's a lot of verbal abuse from her, but that's all I saw in her was the verbal abuse. I didn't see all the rest that she's poured into my life. Until now, I notice it. After I graduated high school, I went off to college, and I got a diploma in a program. And I was almost killed in a car accident the week after. And, you know, I look at my life and I see, wow, God had his hand on me. Like, I should have been killed. I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. We were going maybe 70, and it was hit and run. The worst thing that happened to me was my lip ripped open and I broke my arm. But God was just so good to me. And my friend was a Christian, and she would take me to church. And if none of you have been in a Catholic church, it's very serious. There's definitely no clapping, and you definitely don't raise your hands, and you do not speak in tongues, because that's just weird. So the first time I went to a Pentecostal church, oh boy, I stood there, and I had my arms crossed, and I was looking around, and people were jumping and speaking in tongues, but these people are nuts. This isn't a church. This is a cult. And then this was from my eyes, right? But the truth was I saw the peace in them. I saw the joy. And even though I act all hard and cool, I wanted what they had. But again, I believe the lie that the Lord hated me. When I was 20, I received a huge settlement from ICBC for my car accident. So now I'm 20 years old, have lots and lots of money. And I'm like, okay, this is good. So I bought a really nice sports car. I had a good job. I was a manager in my department. I had the bling. I had the friends. I had everything I thought I needed. But you know what? I was absolutely miserable. I was trying to fill the void that only Christ could fill. I never had a drinking or drug addiction, so my testimony is a little different. Yes, I've gotten drunk before and I've tried a bit of drugs, but my struggles were like the depression, the addiction approval, the wanting to be accepted by others, and just things like that. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 21. I tried to commit suicide one night. I had a really abusive boyfriend, and I tried to kill myself one night. I popped a bunch of pills. I just had a mental nervous breakdown. I had to take a month off work, and my Christian friend was praying for me, and I was just living a double life. Like, my parents didn't understand, like, what's going on with her? Like, she seemed fine. I don't understand, but nobody knew the secrets behind it all except my friend, Veronica, and I called her, and I was crying. I'm like, you got to let me come over. I'm going to go nuts here. And I came over and her mom prayed for me. She said, can I pray for you? And I was just at the end of despair. I'm like, yes, pray for me. And she laid her hands on me, and that was the moment I encountered the living God. She laid her hands on me, and she prayed over me. I don't really remember what she said, but all I do know is that this peace came over me, this peace that I've never experienced before. And, I mean, I was so tormented. The doctors, I thought I was going to go to a mental institute. I was just going crazy from all this verbal abuse that was going on. And from that night, like, I walked away. Like, the Lord delivered me from depression and suicide, something that gripped me for 12 years. I went to the hospital, and then the next day, I just began to have hope, and I began to cry out to God, and I said, God, I'm so lost. If you're real, please help me, help me. And he did. I started going to Christian Life Assembly. He started just setting me free from wrong mindsets and attitudes and from the bad boyfriend, and just so much reconciliation and just healing. I just began to understand who Jesus really was. And it was about last year, I was at my prime again. I was switching careers. I was going back to school to be a paramedic. I had to move out of my house because I finally admitted to my parents that I became a Christian. And then, you know, all hell broke loose in my house. Well, you became a Christian. You know, you joined a cult. I rebelled and I got a tattoo. And I remember my mom said to me, did you get that tattoo at the church? It's pretty funny in her Italian accent. But anyways, and it was really hard because all my life I wanted my parents' approval. And finally, they, you know, there was a lot of healing. And I had to say no to them. They're like, no, you don't go there. You come with us. And I said, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus, Dad, Mom. And they wouldn't talk to me. It was really bad. So I moved out. I got a place in Langley. Awesome roommate. God lined up a new job. I was rooted in Christian Life Assembly in a ministry program. And the Lord started speaking to me about Teen Challenge. And I thought I was hearing him wrong. And, I mean, I sponsored women. Not in a billion years did I ever think I'd be here, standing here sharing my story, being a part of Teen Challenge, especially because I never had a drinking or drug addiction. So I'm like, Lord, am I hearing you right? Like, that's not for me. I'm like, maybe I'm just trying to be a Pharisee and trying to look good in front of everybody. But he was speaking to me. So I spoke to my pastor. I said, Pastor Jason, I think the Lord wants me to go to Teen Challenge, but I don't have a drinking or drug addiction. Like, I know I got some codependency and some self-hate, some fear and some issues with my parents, but and he's like, no, Adriana, it's more than that. It's about a new foundation in Christ. You need a new foundation. You need your identity in Christ to be discipled, and you need healing. And I'm like, okay. So then I started to make excuses to God. I'm like, no. I'm 25. I should be getting married soon. Where's my husband? And like, I want to be a paramedic, Lord. And no. I remember specifically sitting on my desk. I think it was on Facebook. And I was typing away, I'm like, God, no, I have a $4,000 debt. There's no way I'm going to Teen Challenge. Boy, I think the Lord was laughing at me. The next day, literally the next day, I received a financial miracle and that paid off my debt. And I'm like, it was just coincidence, you know. Seriously. And then I'm like, no. I'm finishing my paramedic course because I took the first chunk of it. I'm like, no, Lord, I want to be a paramedic. I want to make some money and I want to move on with my life. And I went to go apply to the paramedic course. And again, just the Lord moved heaven and earth to get me into TC. For some strange reason, the course was canceled. I mean, there's hundreds of people on the waiting list. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to go. And I'm so glad I came because God really opened He opened up my eyes. He showed me that I really needed to take responsibility for my actions, like Darcy said, and I was tired of blaming everybody for, you know, how I was acting. So since coming to TC, I have met the real Jesus, the real Holy Spirit, and the real God. Studying the Word through worship, even through the students and the staff, like just such an amazing women of God who have just such a good example for all of us, just women of excellence and integrity and honor. And I've experienced God's love, His faithfulness, His joy, His forgiveness. He's renewing my mind. And, you know, being a woman, 10 of us in a house, there's going to be conflict. So there's been healthy conflict. And not only do I have, you know, 7 awesome friends, but I got 7 beautiful, wonderful sisters who I love so much. I'm learning to be led by the Spirit, not by my emotions. I was just such an emotional roller coaster. If somebody liked me, I was happy. If someone didn't like me, I was down in the dumps. But God has shown me that I would get my identity out of relationships or my car or money or friends, but God is showing me that it's not where to get my identity, that Jesus is my identity, that he's the rock that never changes and everything else is going to fade away. So he's giving me a new foundation. He's satisfied my heart. I've also learned that I lived in my past. I lived in my mistakes, but God's word says, Romans 6:11, you know, we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. And I'm finally, after 8 months, I'm really getting it deep within my spirit. I've also learned to tear down the unrealistic expectations that I've put on other people and on myself, that I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, we'll never be perfect. I mean, Jesus lived a perfect life and he was rejected. Like God is just totally doing such an awesome work. And the last thing I want to share is he's really taught me about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, to forgive myself. I thought I forgave myself, but there was, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You could tell by the way I talk, there was so much bitterness towards myself and anger towards people. And I just said, God, I'm bitter. I'm mean. I have an ugly heart. You need to change me. I'm very angry. And he's doing that. And I've learned to forgive my family. And the moment I began to forgive my parents for the things they did, that's when they started to forgive me. Like, they didn't know that I was praying and forgiving them. And there's such a change. And the miracle is that God has restored my family relationships. Not in a million years did I ever think that my mom and my dad, I love you, Jenna, I accept you, and I'm not mad at you anymore, and I see the change in you, and it's Jesus. And I'm just like, whoa, a year ago my dad said he'd never accept me. And now he's like, I love you, and I see the change in you. And I just see the Holy Spirit working in my family. So it's amazing that when one person stands in the gap for generations of religion and legalism, it's just, wow, what God's doing. And I'm just totally understanding that Jesus paid the perfect sacrifice. Why am I trying to punish myself every time I sin? Like, oh, well, no, I did this. I'm so awful. Woe is me. And God has shown me that, you know, he paid it. Why am I trying to add to it? It's not going to do anything. And he also showed me that sin is sin. When I walked in the door, I thought I was better than everyone else. And I didn't know, but the world revolved around me. Apparently it doesn't. And God showed me that, you know, there's different types of addictions. And God has shown me, again, the amazing women I've met. And he's also shown me the gifts and talents he's placed in me. And it's not being arrogant. God has placed gifts and talents in all of us. And it's just so exciting to see. And I'm just so glad that I didn't die 4 years ago. And he's just done so much. And all the glory goes to God. It's not me. It's him. And he's given me new eyes to see others. I'm not so suspicious and judgmental and who's out to get me kind of attitude. After Teen Challenge, so I got 5 months to go, I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord for wisdom and direction about what to do after. I would like to continue on with my career, part-time, possibly go to Bible college. I'm thinking I'd like to teach the Word of God, be a teacher possibly at Teen Challenge, assisting Margaret. She's an awesome teacher. I really don't know what the Lord has in store, but I know that it's good, and I know that he's going to open the right doors, he's going to close the wrong doors. And I just want to thank you so much. Pastor Dave told us at Community Chapel that the church prays for us and supports us, and I just want to thank you so much for that, because we need all the prayer we can get. And there's been days where I'm like, I'm leaving, I'm done, this is so hard. And I want to thank you so much for your prayer. We need it. And not only is your prayer affecting my life, but it's affecting those around me and my family and generations to come. So thank you so much. And we're all excited to be here.
Just realized I forgot my shoes. Oh, well, whatever. I won't take up too much of your time. I realize that we have been sitting here for a while. So, my name is Christine. I am 26. I'm a new graduate of the program. I graduated June 26th, and I have been living at the center, giving what I was given. And so, life has been really interesting. I no longer live in what we call the bubble of the student life. And so quickly, my past was my parents were young. They had me when they were 16. I grew up in a Catholic family. My family was really loving. I was blessed to have a big, supportive extended family. However, my father, who struggled in his own addiction, at 3 years old, from 3 to 13, I was abused verbally, sexually, physically, and that just kind of left me feeling angry, bitter, confused. Growing up, my grandparents were strong in the Lord, and my grandma would always tell me how good God is, and I wasn't understanding, because this God that she was telling me about was definitely not the God that I was living. You know, like, if this God loved me, why is this happening? And it just really was confusing for me. And so by the time I was 11, I had started, crying out, or just trying to lessen what was inside my spirit. And I didn't know at the time that God was the answer. The world portrayed everything else but Him to be the answer. Drugs, friends, music, everything, food. And so I started carving, at 11. I started listening to satanic music, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And I became even more angry. Like, people who loved me, I was pushing them away, and I was just determined not to let people love me. And definitely that's not God's plan for us, to push people who love us away. So that went on for a few years, and I had attempted suicide numerous of times, and my family was like, I don't know what to do with her anymore. And so they had stuck me in a psychiatric treatment center, and I was there for almost 2 years, in and out. And the doctors were saying that I was, like, clinically out there. Woo! But God had a different plan for me. Praise God. At 13, I became a ward of Child and Family Services. Someone in our family who was connected to our family who were Christians took me in. And that was really good. It was good for me because they kind of tried to open my eyes up to what the Lord had to offer. But because they were so healthy for me and I wasn't used to that, I was like, it wasn't normal. This isn't normal. And so I just continued my life and whatever. And so, that just continued on and off. At 16, I finally moved in with my grandparents, who I always wanted to live with. Like, if I prayed, it was, God, please let me live with my grandparents, because with them, I felt God's unconditional love, which I know now is His unconditional love. And so I moved in with them, and I was like, thank you, Lord, you've heard me. And I was ready to change my life around, give up my drugs. And 2 months after I moved in, my great grandma passed away, and I was really close to her. Like, she was a really good, godly woman. And so I became angry, depressed. 5 months after my great grandma died, to the day we buried her, my grandpa died. And that was it. I was like, God, you hate me. You know, you gave me these people and now you took them away. And so anyways, I started, I became addicted to crack cocaine and prescription pills, and I had no limits. And I'm not ashamed to say this today, because that is not who I am. Who you see in front of you is not that person. And that continued. At 20 years old, I experienced a massive heart attack. I was in the hospital for a week, and it was there that I was really starting to think about God. Okay, God, it's you and me. You saved me again. This life that I thought was in my hands obviously isn't, because, you know, I've tried so numerous of times, and, well, you still keep me alive. Why? I don't know why, but obviously He had my attention. So after a week of being in the hospital, I came out and I started going to a Christian church, and we went to a retreat, and I encountered God. The Holy Spirit hit me like a wave, endless crying, repentance. I came home that weekend and I was like a little fireball. They called me the little preacher. I go around, my family's like, whoa, what happened to her? So, yeah, 3 months I lived and breathed and I was just happy. And but unfortunately, I didn't deal with any issues. It was all superficial. No, it was real, but I wasn't digging deep. I wasn't allowing God to take me into the deepest, darkest areas of my soul that needed to come to light in order to heal. And so, long story short, my family and my church had an intervention, called me into the church, sat me in a circle, and they said, you know, Christine, we love you, and that is never going to change. And God's funny because I'm a runner. Like, if I'm confronted, I run. But I had gotten into an accident, and I was semi-paralyzed from the waist down, and so I couldn't run. So all I had to do was to sit there and listen. And I heard them, but it wasn't, like, registering. And they said that the life that I was living was going to get me nowheres, and I was heading to the grave. And at that point, I was delusional. Like, I was like, no way, you're the problem. You need help. Not me. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So they told me about Teen Challenge. I read the manual, and I was like, they want me to become a Mennonite. Yeah. And so I was not prepared to like live that kind of lifestyle, but God quickly changed my heart. And since being at Teen Challenge, I love who I am becoming. Teen Challenge was not what saved me. They were the vehicle that brought me to the places where God needed to minister to me. I know that God is going to use me in so many ways. I am his vessel, and I just need to let him pour out through me. And as I was lying in bed yesterday, there was a verse in Ephesians 4. It starts in 4:18, and it says, 4:17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the fertility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's my past. Now, this is my new life, which is found in Ephesians 5:8, that says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Life. God's given me life. And life to me is living in freedom every day. Every day I get to, like, get up and start new. Am I perfect? No. When I was contemplating becoming a Christian, I was scared that I had to become perfect. But God has recently showed to me that it's not about perfectionism, Christine. It's about your heart. Where is your heart at? There's things in my life that I bring to the Lord every day. Judgmental thoughts, pride. I struggle with pride. Sometimes it goes from inferior to, you know, I'm the best. And I think, why am I not changing? And I get so frustrated. But God is like, you know what? Don't look at the change. He wants us to change. But what matters to him the most is the willingness. Like, Christine, how willing are you? Are you willing to get up every day and bring this to me? Are you willing to, all those secrets that you have in you that the enemy plays with, are you willing to bring them to me every day, even though they may not change? Are you willing to bring them? And it's like this realization is giving me, like, more breath to breathe. I don't feel so like I have to do this. I have to. It's like I want to, but it's okay if I don't. And I really like what I'm doing at the center. I help with the outreach coordination. I like to call churches and talk to the pastors. God's given me the gift of the gab. And just recently, I've been praying to him about my future direction. I know that I want to do missions where I don't know. But I do know that this is a desire that's in my heart. And I'm my happiest when I get to tell people the hope that they can have if they just surrender their life to the Lord. If they just allow Him to take their hand and walk before them. And it's like, I don't know. I want to dance. You know, I think that's the David dance. But life is definitely not easy. There's so many struggles. Every day I struggle. Is it my flesh that's going to win, or am I going to let the spirit in me take over? And it's a battle, but I know that it's one that can be won. Actually, it's one that's already won because Jesus died for me. And yeah, thanks for having us. And I'm looking forward to lunch and the barbecue. So yeah.
Well, thank you all for sharing. You've poured out your lives for us, and it's an encouragement to us. So thank you very much.